2 Corinthians. We're in the fifth chapter. And again, just the Lord has me rejoicing over and over in my heart, His faithfulness. And we did leave off in the 10th verse, but I want to just kind of get a running start at it. So we'll go back and read from the 6th verse of the 5th chapter of 2 Corinthians. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that. See, again, here's this confidence in Christ, knowing that this is an ever faithful God that loves us so, that is so for us. And again, the comfort and the rest and the peace that we have, that we are always confident and knowing that while we are at home in this body, we are absent from the Lord. It means, praise God, when I leave this shell, I'm going to be looking into the face of Jesus. And let that comfort you. I hope and pray that as Christians here tonight, that truly that fear of death has been taken away. I believe that I can say that so truthfully before the Lord, all by grace, before Him for my life. But I also want to be able to say it for your life as well too. That I trust God for you. Not just for me, and that you trust God for others, your family, your children, your spouses, that you know that this is God we're talking about, and He does do that which is right. He's a loving God. He'll perfect that which concerns us, and He's got a perfect plan. And again, only by grace and that wonderful faith that He brings can we rest like that in Him. All right, so knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, and not by sight. What a wondrous verse. How concise, how true. It's the Word of God, brothers and sisters. It's not by feeling. It's not by sight. It's not by emotion. It's not by what so-and-so said. It's not by if, again, it went my way today or it didn't go my way today. I've told you many times the Lord had to kind of shake me up, and I said, oh Lord, there's no more bad days. I said, there's just some that are a little bit better than others. How could you have a bad day in the Lord? Really? Think about that. You're a Christian. Praise God, you have the very life of Christ living in you. He has given you that Spirit. Now, let's go on. Praise the Lord. We are confident. I appreciate Paul's confidence, and he's encouraging us to have this same confidence in the Lord. I say, and willing rather to be absent from this body and to be present with the Lord. Again, to die is gain. Praise God for us to live as Christ, but to die is gain. We know this. We're going to be with Him. So then it goes on with verse 9, and here's where there's a choice in our life. Wherefore, we labor. And that word labor means to be ambitious, we talked about last week. That whether present or absent, we may be well-pleasing of Him. There needs to be an encouraged heart, a quickened life. That the reason that I'm here by the grace of God is I want to please the Father. I want to please Him. I want to please my Lord. And there's only one way to please Him. It's impossible to please God without faith. It's by faith. Everything is by faith. Faith comes one way, by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You've got the plan. It's that simple. It's in this Word. And praise God, I believe that there's lives here that's turning to it tonight. That this is it. And I'm telling you, the abundance of life when we turn to this wondrous Word of God. And there's testimony that comes out. There's excitement. There's true joy that comes out of our life when we, by grace, receive this faith that He freely gives us. All right, now going on with verse 10. So here is why we're believing this. For we must all appear. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now, how many times have you as a Christian had somebody pull that verse all out by itself? If you didn't know this text, and if you didn't know what was being talked about here, let me tell you something, you should be awfully worried. Do you know that the majority of Christians live this isolated verse and live in fear their whole life, and it's so sad. Know who's speaking, know what's being spoken about, and know who's being spoken to. so important in the Word of God. And here it is. The very first thing we have to get out of this verse is we. Who is this that he's speaking of, this we? Well, all throughout this text, we understand, Brother Paul, as he said in the 8th verse, we are confident. In the 7th verse, we walk by faith. In the 6th verse, we are always confident. Who is that we? Christians. These are children of the King. By the grace of God, those that have accepted Christ Jesus as Savior, this is the we. We must all appear. And that word appear, it's so precious here. This means be made manifest. Things are going to be seen here. The Word of God is going to be, again, it's going to be judged in our life. How much did we take of it? How much grace did we feed on? Because it's got to be His workmanship to be profitable. We'll talk about that in a minute. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Don't confuse that with the great white throne of judgment. We're going to talk about that in a minute too. But those are two different judgments. This is for God's people. And this judgment is for a reward. His reward is with Him. You're going to receive a reward, but it's going to be the reward of the working of the Lord in your life. Let's go back. Well, let's finish this verse for just a second. I'm getting a little bit excited about this, as you can see. I get a little bit excited when we're set for the defense of the gospel. Huh? And I get excited when I know that the Lord's in this. And brothers and sisters, we don't have to be beaten down by things. We can know this word. We can stand and withstand. As my brother was encouraging me today, he said, "Man, I'm dressed with the whole armor of God. Go ahead and take your shot today." He's talking to a brother about that. And that brother just kind of smiled and laughed. He was all angry with him. He says, "I'm defeated, huh? Nothing I could do to fight with that." That's the whole armor of God. All right. But let's keep reading the verse, then we'll go back and talk about it. So it says here that, again, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Now, that word good or bad, it means whether it's profitable or whether it was worthless, whether it was a reward or whether it was loss. That's the meaning there. Now, let's turn back, and if we can remember in our study in 1 Corinthians, let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and let's read from the 11th verse. And it says there, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." We can't even begin. It's like people want to discuss the Word of God with me in a lot of ways. They want to, maybe really what they want to do is just argue. Well, the very first thing, as I said, you accept this as the divine Word of God. Okay, we're there. Okay, do we accept that Christ Jesus, that is the name whereby ye must be saved? That's it. It's in that name. If we can get to that point, we've got a foundation. From that foundation, by the grace of God, we can go on in a conversation. Praise the Lord. And here it is. We have this foundation which is laid. There's no other foundation. It's Jesus Christ. "For if any man build upon this foundation..." So here we go. This building that he's talking about, this foundation is Christ. "Whether it's gold or silver or precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest." Now look at that. There's that word again, manifest. "For we must all appear..." That word was manifest. It's going to be shown. It's going to be known. Nothing is hid from the Lord. Let me tell you something. That word of God that comes out of His mouth, that sharp two-edged sword, it gets right down to the intent of the heart. Goes right down through the marrow. It divides everything. It separates. It understands exactly the hidden, the secret things that man hides in their heart. So it says here, "That every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it," when he's got his reward that's coming, "because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned..." See, we're His workmanship. The work that he's talking about here is by grace. It's His work. Your works are going to burn. Your works are the wood, hay, and stubble. your self-righteousness, your goodness is the worthless. It's the loss. Praise God, the profitable is free. It's His work. And it's by grace. And all it is believing and saying, Lord, I believe You. I'm going to take this word by Your grace. I'm going to apply it to my life. And I know in believing it, it's going to work effectually in me. It never returns void. It's got benefit. It's got profit. I may not feel it. I may not see it. But what did it say here? It said, I live by faith. I just believe it. Brother Hill used to say about a lot of things on this planet. You know, whether it was the Great Wall of China. Well, I never seen it, but I believe it's there. Huh? They tell me that there's millions and billions of stars out there. Well, I kind of see a blanket of white, but, you know, I believe it. Never been there, but it's there. Let me tell you something. This is there. This is evidence and substance. And the Word of God is the only thing that's ever going to remain. And we better get a handle on that. That is what He's called us to believe, that He is God. You know, he that cometh to God must believe that He is. You got to believe that He is tonight. Then you're going to get somewhere with God. And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Praise God. And my, oh my, you're at a Bible study tonight. So maybe you're checking in to those that diligently seek Him. Can you imagine that? Praise the Lord. What He can do. What He can do. So then, getting back there. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But it says here, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So see, even if you've lived this wasted life, even if you just came and accepted Christ, and yet you lived a life of loss, God forbid, His faithfulness still saves. Brother Lot, he was just Lot, wasn't he? Praise God. Listen to the words of life. See, I was thinking again, the grace of God, brothers and sisters, we get this confused as well too. It's not my excuse to fail. See, a lot of people say, oh, that's the grace of God. It's my excuse to fail. See, I've got the grace there. No, it's to the contrary of that. It's, praise God, it's the reason that I should live a life that's pleasing and acceptable to the Lord. That's infinite grace because of His love for me. It's not the excuse, praise God. It's the reason to live for my wonderful Lord because of His grace that gives me everything and the complete ability to serve Him acceptably. All right, now going back to that 10th verse again. So we see here again that we're all going to appear before this judgment seat of Christ. And everyone is going to receive the things done in his body. And if you want a little reference there, it's Revelation 22:12, where it does say in Revelation 22:12, I'll go ahead and read that for you. It says there that, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. Now again, this is it the work of gold and silver and precious stone? Or is this the work of wood, hay, and stubble? That's how simple this is. Now, let's talk about what this work is. Let's talk about what is this that's going to be judging this. And I think a wonderful reference for us is over here. Let's go over to Romans chapter 2, verse 16. We're going to spend some time on this. There's such a message in this, and there's such a wonderful to be set for the defense of the gospel in this. This is Romans chapter 2, verse 16. Brother Paul speaking here, encouraged and inspired of the Holy Spirit. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to what? To my gospel. This was something that was bestowed upon Brother Paul. Now, we read about that back in the fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians, where he said there in the first verse, therefore, seeing we have this ministry. And what was that ministry? And what is this gospel? It's the ministry of the grace of God. It's all by grace. We grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's the truth in grace. We'll never have peace without grace, as Paul tells us over and over in his epistles. It's all about grace. But he's going to judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to this gospel of grace. And again, what is this gospel of grace talking about? It is His workmanship. We bring that right back down to the gold and the silver and the precious stone that can only be given by Him. It's only things that are done and produced in our lives by Him. It's all again by faith. Do you see the importance of the Word of God? It's all pleasing to God because it's His Son. It's His Son. And His Son being magnified in me, manifested in me, that's what's pleasing to Him. He said, I am seeking, I am searching for that goodly pearl. And that goodly pearl is he who worships me in spirit and in truth. Praise God, it's coming together. Spirit and truth. We've got to have the Holy Spirit. He's the one that the wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said, the Comforter's got to come so He can lead you into all truth. That's the purpose of it again. Taking the things of mine and making them yours. And then, praise God, if you didn't get it there, I'll tell you again. It's truth. It's the Word. And there's nothing else. And yet we try to approach it. We try to, go about perfecting Christianity in everything but the Word of God. And that's where we get off. And it usually has to do with us as Christians in our own goodness. Well, it should be this way. Why don't we use this to attract people into the meeting? Well, we have this wonderful facility over here, or we have these great different ones that can do song. If we would just magnify maybe the music ministry more, we could get people more excited and euphoric about coming to church. God forbid. God forbid. He's got to be the lover of your soul. He's looking for the quality at this time. I'm so tired of hearing message after message about the kingdom. Praise God, I'm already seated in His. I'm in the heavens in Christ tonight. But let me tell you something. He's not about that right now. He's about the church age. And we're reading tonight about this wonderful Lord and about this Lord that is coming, and we are going to again stand before in wonderful reward. And don't you see the picture here of this wonderful church age as we read about in Revelation 1? And you see that the Son of Man, as it says, there with His eyes of fire, and He's got feet of brass, and He's walking through those seven candlesticks. And what are those seven candlesticks? Those are the seven churches. And what do those seven churches represent? They represent the believers at this time, all of the different ones. And you are going to find yourself in one of those seven churches tonight. Most of God's precious people, I believe, in a lot of ways, and I'm hopeful, maybe I'm a little bit more of an optimist. In Ephesus? Maybe. Maybe even a little bit less, huh? But see, He's calling us to Philadelphia. That's where He wants us to be, looking for the coming of the Lord. What did Brother Paul here say? We've been studying about it on Sunday. To them that love His appearing. That Jesus Christ is the lover of my soul. That, praise God, that I know that His desire is toward me. It's His desire. This is who He desires me to be. This is who He desires me to, again, apprehend is Him. And I'm telling you, there is a judgment going on right now. And that judgment is to your reward. Why do you think He says redeem the time? Why does he, do you think he says, don't neglect so great salvation? And he's talking to Christians. Huh? We're supposed to get saved again and again and again? Come on. High calling. One star differeth from another in glory. Isn't that something? Oh, there he goes again. Trying to say that there's better Christians than other Christians and all of that. I'm not going there at all. Praise God. We are one in Him. We're all part of that wondrous body. But are you a mature son of God or not? Are you going to stay a baby? Are you going to grow up? See, I want to grow up. I love and still love growing up. My wife's still raising me, she tells me. But I enjoy things. Praise God that I thought it was the coolest thing to be five, you know? Eating things off the ground and things that still move and things like that, you know? But, you know, at seven and eight, it's like, ooh, we don't do that. There's the 15-second rule or whatever it was. But, and then you move up, and then 12-year-old, you got the bike, and, you know, 15-year-old, and then nothing but girls, you know? That was it, you know? And it got better, but there was a lot more trial there, too. But see, we're maturing by the grace of God. And then all of the exciting things, to be able to go to college. Huh? Be able to have a job. Pretty neat stuff too, huh? But then praise God to have a family. Have a spouse. Have children. Would you want to go back? Oh no. Oh no. See, and this is what He's calling us to. Brothers and sisters, He's saying, it is so incredible. If you'll step into knowing me like I've called you to know my very love, to be able to comprehend with me the height, the depth, the breadth, the length of it, the meaning of it right now, the glory, the oneness. That's right. Really. As we read tonight, by the grace of God, may the love of God constrain me. Sober for your sake. How can we almost not lose ourselves in Jesus that way? Oh, what a Lord. What a calling. To know that it's there for everyone. Praise God, I wish this message was preached everywhere. God would have it preached everywhere. He said for all men. He wanted all men to be saved. Come to a full knowledge, complete knowledge, exact knowledge of the truth. Yes, we need to hear these things over and over. Because you know what? You'll maybe start to get quickened. Then something really happens in our life. Praise God. Getting complacent about the things of God. Get on your knees. It's too good. Absolutely too good. To know, first of all, as Christians, to know that we have been given that incorruptible seed, His very life in me. Praise God. What a wonder. Very God of very God came to live in me. Awesome. Awesome stuff. Okay, we've got to get going. So, we have this wonderful, wonderful day. Not a day of gnashing of teeth, not a day of anxiety. This is a sweet day, appearing before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in His body according to that He hath done, whether it be good or bad. Praise God. Now, I want to talk for just a moment about the great throne, white throne of judgment. Let's turn over to Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. So that's Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. Now again, that judgment seat of Christ was with Jesus Christ. His reward's with Him. It's for us. It's for believers. Let's read about this great white throne of judgment. See, again, we need to just rightfully divide the Word of God. And then there's a simplicity in the Gospel. And then all of those dots that my sweet brother talked about, and it's such a real reality to me, they start coming together. So look at that, Lord. You connected that one for me and connected that one. And praise God, it just keeps ever expanding at an increasing rate. And it's just amazing. All right. So, Revelation 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. This is God ridding sin. Sin's fleeing from God. Hallelujah. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. This is not Jesus' wonderful throne of judgment. This is God's time, because He's not going to be mocked. It's cleanup time. This is at the time of the end of the millennium. This is the time where it's all going to be judged. God is going to rid sin completely out of this place. It's going to be gone. And the books were opened, it says. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead, oh, and they're dead, very dead, were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell were delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. All right? This is the judgment of the wicked dead. This is the judgment of those that have never accepted Christ as Savior. They're going to be judged according to their works, and there's only one result, and God is giving it to us right now. It's called the lake of fire. There's no other way. There's no other ruling. God's not going to be mocked. It's going to be perfected, and His Son is going to be justified even in that judgment, because there has to be a penalty. And that penalty is the lake of fire. So I hope you see the difference in these things. And don't let people tell you, oh, well, so you're gonna end up before the great white throne of judgment, and everybody's gonna be there, and you're gonna be judged according to your works. That's not scriptural. That's not scriptural. You're gonna be judged for a reward. Know it. Know that we were Christians. Praise God. Now, I would hope that would want us to love the Lord even more. To embrace that marvelous love. That He's already forgiven and forgotten all my sins. So if He's forgiven and forgotten my sins, why is He going to bring them up again? Do you see how against the Word of God that is? See, the only thing we're going to talk about is, Son, what did you allow me to do? Did you live by faith? And how much faith did you receive? And what is that faith again? It's the Word of God. And that's why it's so important about these truths. You talk to people and they say, well, you're born again. Oh, that's exciting. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. Ooh, don't want to go there. I believe enough. No, you don't. You could never believe enough. I could never believe enough. I need to keep believing the Word of God. Because that's the treasure. Boy, bridal truths. What great faith is in that? The greatest of faith. And especially in this day where God is so mocked. Again, where we've got the evil of man waxing worse and worse. Where we've got man's philosophy coming at us from every different angle and way. And then most importantly, they say, oh, and your Jesus has been gone for how long? Just the Word of God. A day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. 1,000 years is as a day. Well, which way are we going to talk about it? Has He been gone for 2,000 years or just about 2 days? You see the foolishness? This is God we're talking about. That's what gives me such sweet peace in my life. You can go about and being a jerk. You can go out and just to be somebody that's just defiant. You can be a downright devil if you want to be. God forbid. But God's not going to be mocked. And it's coming. And praise God, those that have had that faith fully, fully developed in their life, can you imagine that reward where He stands you up by the grace of God and He makes known to all that I have loved you? Amen. What do you think about that reward, huh? What about when He says, and you know what? I also want you to come down here and I want you to bow down right before Him too, because you know what? You're going to acknowledge us as one. That's faith. And if that doesn't get the hair standing up on your arms, I don't know what would. Hallelujah. See, that's what God can do. All right. Let's move on. Back to 2 Corinthians, 11th verse. Knowing, therefore, isn't this wonderful again? All the wonderful words he says, confident, confidence, knowing, know this. These aren't things to doubt. These aren't things to wonder about. Well, let's go talk about it. No, just know it. Just believe it. Settle it. Say, Lord, it's done. I understand that finished work on the cross has done this. And it's knowing, it's believing it. Praise God. Knowing, therefore, that the terror of the Lord. And there's great terror. And think about, again, that one that's walking through those seven candlesticks right now, judging us for the reward. There's a terror in that. And what is that terror, really? It's just the fear of the Lord. It's the reverence that this is God. And that this time counts. And that every moment counts. And by the grace of God, I really want to be encouraged to redeem the time. Not out of fear, but again, out of love. But knowing that this is an important time. And I'm thankful, I guess my little mind, the Lord gives me such sweet analogies. And I share them with you, and I hope you enjoy them sometimes. And maybe they click for you. I don't know if you're that feeble or not. But really what it is, it's like, you know, if I was courting someone, I mean, my wife really wanted me to pay attention to her. And since, you know, I was going to be the husband, let's turn it around that way. I wanted her to pay attention to me. I wanted to know that her thoughts and her desires and her love was toward me. If we were going to go into that type of a union, I was serious. And let me tell you something, Jesus Christ was so serious, He put Himself on that cross. And that joy that was set before Him was so real. So real. That same joy that's set before us, which is this wonderful word and the promises thereof, that's all He's looking for, is that one that understands that apprehension of His love. Praise God. What a wonderful promise. But here we have that this terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We want to win over men. But we are made manifest unto God. So, see, this word, again, it discerns the intents and the thoughts of the heart. We've talked about in this study about the sincerity. There's so much fake in the things of God anymore. The Lord knows this. The Lord knows your heart. You may be able to fool everybody else around you, but you cannot fool God. That's the truth. We can play church all we want, but that's just wasted time. Really. And we can come in here critical, and we can come in here judging, and we can keep that to ourselves, but God knows it. And it's not a fun way to live, because it's harboring things. I want to come in here and love people. I want to come in here and appreciate maybe the liberty in Christ that the Lord has given you. Now, sin is sin. I don't want to go anywhere else with that. But I want to appreciate a liberty that He's given you. And I would pray that you would appreciate a liberty that He's given me. Huh? Let's not be resentful for something that the Lord is giving a brother or sister in Christ. Don't be stumbled of the devil like that. His judgment's for reward. Oh, but my judgment today is how your walk is. Huh? No. I pray, God, that I'm seeing the reward that He's giving you. I pray, God, that I'm rejoicing with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and looking at the reward that He's given you tonight. You're being faithful in a few things. Oh, and His faithfulness is just endless. Praise the Lord. All right, so I trust also, it goes on there in the 11th verse, are made manifest in your consciences. This is the testimony. Again, this is that wonderful testimony of the Word and the love of God working in our life. Now, verse 12, for we commend not ourselves again unto you. Paul said this earlier. Remember when the different ones were getting commendation letters to come and give out the Word of God? Well, I went to this seminary, and I went to this one over here, and, you know, I studied under brother so-and-so. Huh? Well, I've been in this church for 50 years. Praise be to God if you've been here for that long, 70 years. And really, praise be to God, I'm not mocking that at all. But it's today. It's today. Forgetting those things which are behind. Brother Hill brought that out so sweetly, and it really struck my heart. Everybody wants to forget, in a sense, all that muck and all of the tragedies and the failures and all of those. And sometimes it's a precious thing for the Lord to remind me. And we have a sweet fellowship about, you know, Lord, wasn't that a precious failure you delivered me from? Huh? Don't ever forget those. Those are the treasures of my life. Absolute treasures. Those are the trophy of trophies. But then, brothers and sisters, also all of that faithfulness of God, we remember that in a sense. But you know what? All that success, I've got to move on. We talked about it. I can't just get complacent with this glory. Oh, Lord, wow, that was great. I really trusted you. And man, I'm feeling really good here. And I've sat here for the last 3 years. It's the truth. I want to move to the next one and the next one and the next one. I was thinking of Brother Ray and his sweet message on those sheep. It meant so much to me. God is moving us on. And a sheep, if you leave him there too long, they'll ruin it. And I've got absolute testimony for that. Lynn can tell you, and Brother Scott can too. They had a granddaddy that had this ranch that the kids still have today. And one of the bylaws in that trust for all of those kids, only cows. And that was it. No sheep. Only cows. And you know why I didn't want the sheep there? Because he couldn't move them on and on to different pastures. It was just one place. Those sheep, what they'll do is they'll eat that grass all the way down, and they'll eat up the roots and they'll kill the ground. Cows made a little bit different. They just kind of munch the top and mow that top. See? That's why sheep need so much care. They need to be moved on from pasture to pasture to pasture. All right, so let's move on with our wonderful, wonderful Lord. All right, so again, didn't have to commend themselves, but they give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. So here what it's just saying, Christ working in you is the evidence. The proof is of our ministry is the victory that you're living. The proof, praise God, are fat sheep. Absolutely. Praise be to God. That stall-fed calf that we heard over and over from our precious pastor. Now verse 13. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is of God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Now, what a wonderful few verses here. It's just so amazing. Brother Paul, again, he just says, look, whether I'm beside myself there back in the 13th verse, I'm telling you, it's to God. He was so excited about the things of God. I can't imagine what happened in private quarters with that brother. And I'll tell you, sometimes if I'm sure that I'd find you and you'd find me that same way, just praising Jesus beside myself. I get out here and sing, and I pray Brother McLam doesn't come up sometimes because I'm singing so loud and probably so off, but it's from the heart and the Lord loves it. So praise God. But see, that's what he does. But here was something really sweet. But he said, but you know, but whether I be sober too, it's for your cause. Brother Copley brought out such a precious little study in this, and I thought it was so wonderful what he said. He said that this soberness, it has to be given that way. I love to be excited about the things of God, but I don't want my excitement to ever squash or to come in to interfere with the Word of God is doing. The Word of God needs to be given soberly. It needs to be given reverently. It needs to be given so it's understood and given in that way that it's direct, that you can discern it. Brother Copley also used to call it cookies on the shelf. Praise God. What he's also talking about there is just a well-prepared meal. And he said he called it a farmer meal. He said, I always wanted to give my brothers and sisters farmer meals. He said, you know what farmer meals are? They're not fancy. but they're cooked good food. And you come in and you eat, and a lot of times they're so filling, you rest. But the thing is you get up and you're ready to work. Praise God. And see, that's Brother Paul. As he said, I, by the grace of God, I labored more than ye all. And it was the grace of God that did it. It wasn't me. And I just thought about how beautiful that is. He just kept feasting on the grace of God. He kept eating that. He said, Lord, this is free. This is the absolute free gift of you that I can feed upon you. I can feed upon your word. I'm feeding upon your body. I'm getting edified. And again, just this wonderful word of God being magnified in myself. What a wonder that this can be. But this is that soberness, and this is why. And he said that the love of Christ would constrain. That means sustain me, hold me together as the sincere, confident word of God was coming out. See, we don't want to be directed by our emotions of flesh. We want to be directed by emotions of faith. And there's a big difference there. And I want people to understand that as well, too. A lot of times when you talk about something, they're saying, what do you mean? I can't have emotions? Absolutely, you need emotions. But you need emotions of faith. That's God directing your life. Not just a gut feel. Well, I got a gut feel about this one. That could be indigestion. I don't know. Okay? But it's by faith. And you'll get godly excitement. You'll also have godly sorrow. Sometimes you'll have a little godly anger. Let it be tempered. You know what happened when God's anger got out there? But praise be to God for the grace of God, that wonderful Jesus. All right, let's hurry along and we'll close up here. All right, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all. Isn't that wonderful? Think about this wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He did die for all man. He died for all mankind. He did. A lot of people say, well, no, he just died for a Christian. No, he died for every person. Every person. He did. But here's the difference. That they which live, see, those are the ones that believe. The ones that accepted that free gift. That accepted this wonderful lamb slain for my sin, that they which live should. Okay, here's your choice, brothers and sisters. Here's my choice. Am I going to yield to God? Should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Remember, it's no more self now. It's Christ liveth in me. Turn over to Romans chapter 6, verse 8. That's Romans chapter 6, verse 8. And it says there, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. See again how this just continues to parallel and just build upon and build upon and build upon here in Romans. And that's so precious. Now let's go over to Romans chapter 12. Such a fabulous portion of scripture here in Romans chapter 12. Let's just start reading from verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, look at what he's asking here. He's not asking us to do anything. He just said to present yourself. I interpret that another way, and you've heard me say it. Jesse, just show up. Lord, I'm here. Praise God by your grace. I'm here today. Don't know what we got going, but I'm here. And it's your work today. Huh? But see, we're always approaching it. Lord, I'm here, and this is what we're going to do today. Don't go there. This is what I want to do today. Don't want to go there either. I'm here by your grace. Humbly before you. And I know that you're sufficient for this day. And you're going to get me through. You're going to get me through. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? So it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and even the very perfect will of God. So here again, it's our reasonable service. It is what we should do here. And not henceforth live unto ourselves. See, that's the selfishness. There's old self. And What does the Word of God tell us as Christians? You're not your own.
Oh, yes, I am.
No, you're not. If you've accepted Christ Jesus, you better just get over it. You're not your own. That thing died. It did. It died. Praise God. And now Christ lives in me. That's the exciting part of this whole journey. It's Christ living in me. This wonderful part of the Godhead. He's come to live in my life. And that is what is bringing me on. And this is what is bringing me into this wonderful glory. It's with Him and it's in Him. And it is just so magnificent. All right. We'll go one more verse, maybe two, and then we'll stop. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we Him no more. And I know you're all looking up and thinking, what was just said? Okay. This King's English has finally gotten the best of me. Huh? No, see, this is spiritually discerned, and let's just, again, understand with the Holy Spirit again leading us. And it says here that we don't know any more man after the flesh, meaning the old man. And the reason is it's all in Galatians 2:20. We just were quoting it. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But it's not I that live anymore. It's Christ liveth in me. Now, this is this new person, and this is why this flesh thing, I don't know anybody after the flesh anymore. That old man, it's gone. I even think about, you know, carrying around or dragging that old man. I even have a hard time with that anymore. Lord, you nailed that to the cross. Praise God. That's not me. I'm living a lie. I understand that when I yield to that old thing in a way. But that's not who I am. I am new creation. You are new creation. Praise God. He gave you that incorruptible seed. That is the life that you live now. That's the beautiful thing. That isn't me. And it's not now my excuse to say, okay, well, I can go sin and do whatever I want because that's really not me. No, that's not it. Because you're serving somebody. You're a servant of someone. And that's the one you're going to obey. And you can be mystified and you can be lied to and you can be all of these things. But that isn't you. He gave you something perfect, absolutely perfect, righteous and holy. That's who you really are. And He wants you to behold that. It's like looking into that glass that He talks about. Christ is living in me, growing in me. That's the wonderful beauty of that life that, again, matures in us. That we are taking His life and we're walking in the newness of life is what this verse is saying. In the newness of this creation. Let's read Romans 6:4. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. There it is, you should. God is not going to force you. That's the marvelous thing. He gave us free will, didn't He? He did. Free will. He wanted somebody to come in there and say, Lord, I see You for what You are. I see how much You love me. I see what You gave up for me. I see this whole plan that it was for me. The most magnificent of all creation, really, is this human that could come in and freely worship Him. And this is who He's chosen. Chosen that can be His bride. This is who He wants to marry. He wants to marry you. He wants you for His bride. And He wanted all mankind for that. Do you know that? He didn't want any not to just perish. He wanted all men to be saved. But He wanted them to come to this fullness of this knowledge of His love. That's how much He loved. And that's what we sit under tonight. That's how much He loves you. It's beyond. But it's real. It's the very plan of God. And it's the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What a wonder, brothers and sisters. Praise God that He's given it to us. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank You again for bringing us here this evening. We thank You for sharing Your Word with us. Lord, we ask that, again, that this would just be applied to our life. You promise that if we would believe this, it will work effectually. There might be lives out here tonight that are thinking, man, this is really out there. It's something maybe I've never heard before. Or, Lord, I've been struggling with this. You know, Lord, again, as You said, he that comes to God must believe that He is. You said it. It has to be faith as a child. It needs to be received in just knowing that Your promises are yea and amen. God, help us to come to that just surrendering. And really, that's what it is, a surrendering of this mind, of this society, of this world, of my upbringing, whatever it may be that's holding me back. And let me just say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We ask You in Jesus' name. Amen.